you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It'll be fun to be back. For me, I think the biggest thing is Chicago is one of the teams that I haven't beat in my career. There's only a couple of them. I think there's three left, and unfortunately one of them is the Carolina Panthers, so I'm not going to be able to do that. But, Chicago and Dallas, another team that I played for, is another one that I haven't beat. So, I think that's kind of the bigger thing. I've got friends and people that are there that are going to come to the game, and so it'll be fun to see those guys. But I enjoyed my time in Chicago. It'll be fun to be back there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Andy Dalton. He is the Red Rifle. He is the former Pro Bowl quarterback who now is with the Carolina Panthers. He came in here with the idea of kind of helping Justin Fields get used to the NFL.
Right.
And that fell apart pretty quickly.
And he got in the way, frankly.
Well,
he got in the way.
Did he get in the way?
Yeah, he got in the way.
I think he got hurt.
Well,
and they kind of forced him onto the field as a result.
He got in the way because if they would have done it right, they would have started maybe Justin Fields earlier, not messed around with the apprenticeship program. And who knows what would have happened. I think that's easy to say now. Andy Dalton, 3-3 as a starter for the Bears, I believe. And was here for only that 2021 season.
Yep.
And he's not beating the Bears, according to what he just said. He also, I would quibble a little bit about he's not beating the Panthers and he won't be able to. He might be able to. He could be the reason the Panthers lose on Sunday. If he throws the Bears a football, he could get the Panthers beat that way. I'm not going to get credit for that, but he would get blame.
So the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Panthers are the three teams he hasn't beaten, and he's playing for the Panthers.
I believe so, yeah.
Did they play the Cowboys? Probably not this year.
Not sure about that.
And yet he now thinks he's going to win on Sunday.
He should think he's going to win on Sunday.
Take it personal.
Well, he should. There's a lot of interesting connections, that being one of them. Mm-hmm. Between these two teams, certainly Andy Dalton playing back at Soldier Field, where he was here for one season and gotten Justin Fields' way. Then he moved on. Another interesting connection is obviously Ryan Poles and the job that he wanted back in 2021, was it? I think it might have been the same year. He interviewed for the Panthers job. Remember him saying that on one of the various podcasts he went on before the season and talking about what he learned from that experience, what he learned from not getting the job, how he went back to Kansas City and had to rethink about the way that he interviewed for these jobs. A big point in his career, and the Panthers coming to town and blessing in disguise for Ryan Poles, didn't get that job, and then he fleeced him later. And so this is a franchise that has played a big role in Ryan Poles' career and his growth professionally.
You know, Andy Dalton is a guy that has had a decent career, but he is on the back end of it now, right? And I'm just saying, he isn't the entity he once was. None of us are. Not you, not me, not Brandon. None of us. Dustin still is.
Well, yeah, he's not. Nobody thinks that. He still can have occasions where he gets hot. He did beat the Raiders with when nobody really thought that he would, and he threw for over 300 yards. He's got one of those games in him, perhaps. I just think against this Bear defense that has gone now 10 straight games without giving up more than 21 points dating back to last season, this is not a good matchup for the Panthers and their passing game. And Andy Dalton, you know, if he catches lightning in a bottle, perhaps, but this is not, this is a game the Bears should win, and Andy Dalton will probably be part of the reason why. He was a very good quarterback in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He started 133 games, but no, I don't think that he's at a point in his career where he alone is going to be enough.
No, no. And especially if the Bears decide to play a field position game and they use Legatron to control everything.
Are you just trying to trigger me?
Yeah, okay. I was.
That's fine.
I was just trying to
I'll
there.
Fall for the bait if you want.
I was
but
going
no,
with the Legatron okay. thing.
You know, the other interesting connection between these two teams we haven't talked about is their head coach, Dave Canales, came yeah. to Carolina from Tampa.
Yeah.
But he went to Tampa where he's the offensive coordinator from Seattle, and he worked with Shane Waldron.
Right.
And so this is a really interesting game because Shane Waldron has a lot of pressure on him each and every week, and coming off last week showing where he did grasp the obvious and tried to establish an identity with the Bears running the football more than they have, protecting the football as well as Caleb Williams did. This is a big week for Shane Waldron, too, going against a guy that he worked with in Seattle. Canales was at Seattle for a very long time on Pete Carroll's staff. Then he went to Tampa. Now he's a head coach. So good matchup between two offensive minds, and Shane Waldron wants to have a good showing. He can do that by getting the Bears off to a quick start in the first quarter.
312-644-6767. Aaron is on the road. Hey, Aaron.
How you guys doing? I just want to say, y'all's storyline this morning is killing me. First 15 plays, I don't care about that. All the Bears need to do is do something they haven't done since Justin Fields beat San Francisco in a rainy day. Get over 500. Run the football. Win the game. I don't care if they win 2-0, 10-2. Just win the game. We got a quarterback that threw for over 300 yards, and they lost. I would rather him throw for 250 yards, no interceptions, keep being smart enough to take the check downs, win the game. I would hope that the coaching staff is smart enough to run the football, make sure that there's no options being called at the goal line, and just win the game, walk away with a win. If they win 17-10, if they win 6-4, I don't care. It's at the end of the day, can I come to work Monday happy because they won? Week one was great for me. I walked around the whole day going, a win is a win. A win is a win. And that's all I need. I don't need anything else. I don't need 30 points. I don't need all this.
Yes.
This what y'all looking for. Just win.
Yeah, that is a
Thanks,
fair
Aaron.
Comment, Aaron. That is exactly the only thing that matters. And we have a texter saying he thinks the Bears are going to lose 17-14 because he thinks they're overlooking this opponent. They're not in a position to overlook any opponent. They are not a good enough team, nor having a good enough season for them to look past anyone. If they're planning a trip to London mentally right now instead of taking care of business on Sunday at Soldier Field, that's shame on the coaches.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
No.
I don't get that sense either.
I don't either.
From anything that we've heard or people we've talked to, I don't get a sense that the Bears are in a position to overlook any opponent. They are barely 500. They have an opportunity to do something they haven't done in a very long time, and that is to go over 500. They play very well at Soldier Field. They have confidence there. They've won 7 games in a row at home. I don't think this is a team that's prone to overconfidence or has any reason to fall into that trap. They're going to be ready, and I just think they feel like defensively they have a little bit of a swagger, and I think they're going to use that on Sunday to make Andy Dalton turn the ball over. Or
do you envision the same kind of game plan as last week? Do you think that it's going to be a big whether it's DeAndre Swift or Roschon Johnson, it's going to be a big running game?
Same game plan. It worked. That is the way that you have to take incremental steps, and you have to one week at a time. It's boring, but it's better. And with Caleb Williams, you obviously eventually are going to get to the point where he is going to win you games. It bears repeating. This is still the stage of his career where you don't want him to lose them. The rookie quarterbacks scare you because they can make mistakes in games you should win. This is a game you should win. You can't afford a rookie mistake. So Shane Waldron would be wise to take the same approach he took against the Rams, against the Panthers, even though the Panthers should be easier to move the ball against.
All righty. Let's try Jay, who is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jay.
Man, Aaron was fired up.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he? Don't talk to me about 15 plays. He doesn't want any script.
Dude, I'm from Pittsburgh. Whenever I call on the sports radio over here, the people are not that fired up, not that. Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, we have a winning team, so I can't really. I kind of feel bad for you guys, but seeing Justin Fields playing these last three games, you know, I'm not that impressed, and I actually have a conspiracy theory. All right, so I watched at least six or seven games in the last couple weeks from the Bears last season, right? The first seven games, absolutely trash from Fields, all right? So, first off, very, very inconsistent. He made critical errors in third and fourth quarters. He's terrible in the third and fourth quarters statistically. There's very, very odd, strange play calling. Suggesting that the Bears coaching staff, makes calls to deliberately put Fields in the line of fire. His offensive line sucks. They're not shifting on plays that they should shift on. The entire left end, I'd say, well, there's three games that I pointed out. It was one against Carolina.
Aaron, are we revisiting the Justin Fields era in Chicago? We don't want to do that.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call.
I don't know what the point was there.
I think he was revisiting the Justin Fields era in Chicago.
We don't want to do that, right?
Well, you don't. Some of us had fun during that era.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
I'm totally joking.
Let's get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotcha. It's not what we're doing. Frank's in Western Springs. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Breaking up the Bears talk here. Sorry. It's been a long time since I've called in. I have to vent in a sense of I don't have to put on a poster my love for the White Sox going back since I'm a baby, my family, blood, blah, 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 blah. But at what point does the MLB step in and say, you know what, this is embarrassing for the MLB franchise, right, the MLB name itself.
Yes, the brand.
The brand of MLB, right? That is a worldwide brand. Reinsdorf, obviously, I don't want to use the phrase throwing the towel in, but the man blatantly doesn't care about anything. That's just my opinion as a fan. We haven't had season tickets now for it's going on the third year. But that being said, I may be just talking stupid, I don't know, but I just feel that the MLB should step in and give ultimatums and say and almost put a demand on certain things. Okay.
And here's the thing, Frank, and appreciate the call. Shouldn't they do that in Oakland as much as in Chicago? I mean, when you reach a point now, Oakland, they're leaving now. Maybe Jerry has a master plan of leaving. I have no idea what he's thinking. I read his letter at the end of the year, whatever it might be. But the fact of the matter is that they don't step in. Professional sports teams rarely step in. In fact, you'd have to do something pretty horrific, Donald Sterling, in order to have a professional sports league step in. Jerry's done nothing along those lines. So you are just, unfortunately, going to have to grin and bear it.
Yeah, I understand the frustration. It's such an unrealistic possibility that it's kind of, I don't even know how it is worth addressing, but he wanted to address it, and that's fair. I think what you want to look at from the White Sox perspective this morning is the frustration. And a manager came back to the game in Terry Francona. He's going to manage the Reds probably very well. And you're a team like the White Sox in need of a manager in a city like Chicago, and it doesn't appear that that was even a consideration.
Right.
And so that, to me, is something worth complaining about or wondering about this morning. Why didn't they ask him if they did it? And if they did ask him to interview for the job and he declined, then he takes this job. What does that say about the project you're in the midst of?
And I think that sitting here this morning, someone texted in early that they should, hey, the White Sox need to go get Joe Maddon or David Ross. And I felt myself like, yeah, boy, yeah, as if they do that. Why am I responding that way? What's wrong with either of those guys coming to the South Side and trying to turn something around? They need a professional manager.
They do.
Is Skip Schumacher? We've let that one go by the wayside. You know why? Because we've convinced ourselves, well, they're not going to spend money. They're just going to get somebody.
We've convinced ourselves by dismissing it.
That's what I'm saying.
That he almost would not prefer the White Sox to any other job. He would choose somewhere else, anywhere else.
Yes.
Which to me says...
is pathetic.
It's really too early to concede that. And yes. I think we just routinely concede that.
Because we're trained, we are like... you know, the bell rings and we salivate.
But I thought about that last night in this news about Francona, which was frankly shocking.
Yes, it was.
Why?
Shocking.
I thought Skip Schumacher might be looking at Cincinnati. There'll be other jobs maybe he's looking at. He may be wherever the case
is. Maybe he's got a TV job. Maybe he'd prefer that to Chicago.
But let's hope not, because
I agree.
You still can't believe that a manager makes an impact or can help refocus things in an organization that is not very focused or doesn't have a great direction. Just look at the difference AJ Hinch made in Detroit, okay? And I know that I don't want to overstate that impact. In a manager, we can debate that forever, the impact of a guy on a season, but they've got an $18.8 million payroll for their playoff roster.
That's ridiculous.
AJ Hinch is a guy that told his team at the All-Star break, you got to decide what you want to be. And they just played the same way, and they never gave up. On August 10th, they started to climb. They climbed all the way back to the postseason.
Ridiculous.
Now look at them.
They were literally like a 0.02% chance to make the playoff. And now, again, Dustin pointed this out yesterday, and it bears repeating, which is when you have the White Sox in your division and when you have that many free wins, maybe that helps you. But nonetheless, I mean, it is – why are we settling, even mentally?
Should not settle.
And yet I catch myself.
I know.
And I appreciate Frank calling in because it reminds you.
Thanks, Frank.
Yes.
Good check.
We've got Grody time next. We'll bring in Mark Grody. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Hold on.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's time for that one guy playing that one song. He is Mark Grody. It's Grody time, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Mark, you are a glorious, wonderful human. How are you this morning, buddy?
And when I'm back in Chicago, I feel it. That's the one song that I'm singing.
Oh, that is beautiful. My brother, niece told my brother lives in England, and he got into that song, and he was, like, singing. I'm like, dude, that was, like, 2 years ago.
But Mully, it's also from that one guy from that one show. So there's a lot of that one song from that one guy from that one show. It's like that song, like, every time that song comes on, and it comes on a lot, and so far I'm not sick of it. I love it when I see the Chicago skyline when that song comes on. Then it puts me in my feels. Yes, it does. Paul, you're not buying any of this, are you?
Promise not to sing again.
All apologies. I'll tell you what.
How come you don't sing? Don't you have a song in your heart, Mr. David?
No.
Yeah, David, why you got to be like that? Why you got to be such a grump, man?
No, not a grump.
I don't know.
I know my limits.
Is this TV thing getting to you, man? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like...
All right, Grody. Very funny.
Hey, let me tell you guys. Let me tell you guys about this Bears team, what it feels like to me as I'm waking up. It feels like you had the first 2 years of rebuilding this team. It almost feels like this season, they're in the midst of a season rebuild after kind of struggling a little bit early. They've gotten back to 500, and the feeling that I got yesterday going through the locker room is it's all hands on deck here, especially this week. They're not playing, and that was reflected on the injury report when we saw Tevin Jenkins return to practice, DeAndre Carter back to practice, Cole Kmet limited the other day, full practice. Now you got Sweat and Dexter who are limited, but they're going to play. So it kind of has that feeling of let's rebuild. We're kind of, I don't know, starting over is right, but let's get this right now before the season gets away. And I think that's the place they are here heading into the Carolina game.
What's your thought when you see Andy Dalton? What do you remember about his time in Chicago in 2021, Mark, when you were covering the team up and close and personal? And just wonder how much damage you think he can do against this Bears defense.
Well, I think that it's kind of hard to detect any kind of legacy from Andy Dalton when he's here because there was just so much angst surrounding it. Because it was Andy Dalton comes in and Justin Fields is there and they decide that Andy Dalton is going to be their starter, and this angers everybody. You know, media obviously was critical of it. Fans didn't like it. So he's just another complicated figure of a quarterback as far as Bears history mm-hmm. is concerned, because he's just another guy that you really didn't want to be your quarterback. And how many guys in Bears history have there been? He was a placement facilitator. That's all he was with the Bears. So when I think about his legacy, that's what comes to mind. Yeah, there were some nice moments. There were some bad moments on the field, like in terms of actual games, David. But his legacy is he was the guy that started over Justin Fields when the world wanted to see their quarterback continue to be developed, and that was Justin Fields. So, like, Andy Dalton has had a fine career. He's had a decent to good career, I guess, relative to other quarterbacks that have played in this league. Mm-hmm. But his Bears stay was typical of past Bears quarterbacks, where it was not very distinct other than the controversies surrounding the quarterback position.
All right, Mark, I've been waiting all week to talk to you because one of your favorite players is in jeopardy this week. There is a rib injury with Tevin Jenkins. Now, he did have some limited practice, which would seemingly indicate that he's on the road to recovery and he's going to be playing on Sunday. But have you spoken to him? Is he holding up okay? I know you help guys. Have you been giving him any training help?
Ribs. It's almost like his delicious ribs are hurting. Why is that? When I hear rib injuries, I just get hungry. That's a terrible, terrible thing and weird that I say that. But, no, it's almost like you were following me around in the locker room, because I did go up to Tevin Jenkins yesterday by his locker, and I said to him, is this like a pain thing more than anything? And he said, yeah. And I said, how much pain are you in? And he said, yeah. It's like I gotta sleep differently. I got to sleep on my other side. You know, so he is feeling it. But that said, and that was before practice, he went out there and practiced yesterday. And I think that's part of the all hands on deck thing that they got going on here, like where they have a chance. This is such an important game. Like,
yes,
it really is, to get back. Like, you're on a good track if you win this game. You're 3-2. You're feeling good about yourself. I'm sure there's going to be corrections that need to be made. So in the name of continuing to develop Caleb Williams and the offense and the receivers, which we all ultimately want to see, if they get this win over Carolina this week, it just really bodes well for the things that are going inside the building and in practice and on the field and developing this offense. It almost as if it buys you time, that you're winning while things don't look particularly good. And who knows? Maybe, because I do expect this at some point in time, because I do think Caleb Williams is going to be great. Like, I haven't backed off of that. I do think there's going to be a week, and I'm not calling for it this week necessarily, where you will see Caleb Williams sprout and be Caleb Williams, and I don't think we're ever going to look back after that occurs.
This segment with the great Mark Grody is brought to you by your local Ford dealer. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. Mark, when you look back at the week that you covered this team at Hallis Hall, what do you think the most important question that you asked of somebody, and what did you think of their answer?
Very interesting. I'm trying to go back in my head here. And you know what? I think it was probably Gervon Dexter talking to him and asking him about what he needs to do to get better. And he says that he is still not good at, like, he still needs to work on staying low because, you know, pad level stuff. Like, he was very forthright about it, very honest in saying, yeah, it's not good enough. He didn't give us the answer. Oh, yeah, I'm getting better. He said, no, I still got to be way better at that. Got to stay low, pad level, because, as he said, he is a taller defensive lineman. He said he's strong as hell, basically, is what I was talking with him along with Mark Podash. And it was just a very real, very honest talk. Obviously, it seems like he's been busting through the backfield or into the backfield more this year. Still got to get better at stopping the run, as does the entire defensive line. But that's a guy that, I guess, David, I hadn't talked to much this year and had, you know, one of those convos with just a couple of reporters. So I think that his answers about needing to be better and being very critical of himself, I thought was maybe some of the most interesting stuff this week. Low key, though. It's a good question, David.
But buy him a cake tomorrow. Tomorrow is his 23rd birthday.
What? What?
Would I make it up?
No, you wouldn't. I feel like, Mully, you are on top of the birthdays. I heard you talking about a birthday, I don't know, it was last week. I get my, you know, I get conflated on what I hear sometimes on the radio. But you had
conflated?
Given
and
it. No, conflated. Conflated.
Okay, conflated?
Where sometimes I think I hear something on one show, but it's actually on the other show. But I could have sworn
I heard
Mully talking about a birthday that was coming up like a week down the road, and David was like, oh, okay, that's a week ahead. But maybe I'm just making this stuff up. Does that sound familiar, or am I just completely making stuff up?
No, I don't think you're making stuff up. I do vaguely remember that as well. All right, but don't make up your prediction. What do you see happening Sunday and why?
And when I'm back in Chicago. Okay. I think that was for you, David. I do think, and let me be clear here. I know this is going to backfire on me one of these weeks, but I am perfect so far on this show in picking, not necessarily, well, I've come close on the score. I have to go back and review the tape at some point in time. But so far, I've picked them all right, and I plan to do it again tomorrow or Sunday. I think the Bears will win this game. I got the Bears winning for the second straight week. I think they will beat the Carolina Panthers 27-24. And I know I called for this last week, but I'm going to call for it again. It's not going to be, you know, Caleb Williams is not going to be responsible for all of the offense. Tremaine Edmonds, I do believe, is going to have a pick six in this game of Andy Dalton, and it's going to go crazy at Soldier Field. And then the Bears are going to be on their way. It's going to be kind of tight early. Tremaine Edmonds with the pick six. I do believe Caleb Williams is going to be, let me give him 21 of 28 for 215 yards, a touchdown and an interception.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Very specific.
I don't
How you like
the,
me now?
I don't like the interception, but things happen.
Yeah.
If they win, that's wonderful. If they don't, that flight to London will be as uncomfortable as a Tevin Jenkins sleep position.
Is as uncomfortable as one of his delicious rib injuries.
Delicious
rib. Yeah, you're right. Think about that, Mully. That is a long road trip if they do fall under it. And you don't want to have to feel like the London game is a must-win game,
yes,
because everything gets weird with travel.
It gets weird overseas.
It does. You can't really account for anything, and you do have to allow for excuses, which sucks in those cases because, you know, come on, these guys, it's not like a football team has time to do London, so to speak. They're there on business. I did the trip with them in 2018 when they left very late. So they're not getting on the buses and touring London and all that kind of stuff. Maybe a little bit just for show, just to put up nice pictures on the website. But it's a business trip no matter what, and it's a pain in the butt business trip, to be honest.
Mark, obviously the celebration of Tory Taylor as the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week has been going on all week long. Richard
all
Hightower
week.
Addressed it yesterday. I thought with the question, though, that piqued my curiosity was when he was asked about Tory Taylor as an option on long field goals that we see everybody trying in the NFL this year, more prevalent than ever. What did you make of his answer?
I think it's very interesting because, you know, the The field goal kickers in this league have certainly set a new precedent in terms of, like, 50-yard field goals ain't nothing. It feels like 50-plus is not a big deal, but, you know, Cairo Santos has some limitations. So I suppose, and I always think it's funny when the idea when the big-footed punter, when he comes up as a kickoff, is either a kickoff guy or a field goal kicker. So I don't know. I find it, considering where he was drafted and all that, and we heard him saying earlier this week that he wants to make Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and HT all look like geniuses, you know, if he's making them in practice and popping them there, then I would be all for it.
If you earned the nickname Legatron on this show, then shouldn't you attempt a 70-yard field goal?
Probably.
I think he's got the distance. I don't know if he has the accuracy.
Yeah, well, I'll keep a close eye during the pregame this week, and I'll see if he is striking 75 to 80-yard field goals. And then when you, Molly, and Olin, and Patrick come on, maybe I'll sneak down to the field, and I'll just do my report live down there. And
I believe Lawrence Holmes is filling in.
All right. Well, can you pass on all these notes? I'll be on with Lawrence and Spiegel this afternoon, so I'll pass all these notes on to those guys.
That's great stuff.
You're the best, Mark. We love you dearly.
No, you guys are the best. Have a great rest of your show, guys.
Right,
always
buddy.
A pleasure.
Cheers. Thank you so much. And we should let everyone know you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday. It's presented by your local Ford dealers and IDOT. It's not a game. Illinois.com.
Chris Chelios is next.
Talking Chicago hockey. Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. We can talk hockey now.
Chris Chelios.
Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score!
BetMGM ambassador, the king of sportsbooks.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in. Chelios scores! Chris Chelios has won it for Chicago.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. BetMGM ambassador Chris Chelios joins us now. BetMGM, the king of sportsbook. And Chris joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. So, Chris, legend has it that the first man to ever take the stage was known as Thespis back in ancient Greece. And that is, of course, your lineage. So it's no surprise to learn you are a thespian.
I'm not quite sure.
You're an actor, my friend.
No, I'm not an actor. No, I've done the odd cameo, but by no means am I an actor. But it was fun.
Where were you Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday, I was in New Jersey shooting a little cameo for Happy Gilmore 2. Ordinarily, at my age, I'm over the sitting around a set for 7 hours and, you know, just it's long and tedious and I just didn't enjoy it back in the day. So, but this one was, I couldn't pass it up. Got to meet some funny guys, Jonathan Lugren, you know, all those guys that Sandler's had in his movies for the past 20 years. Our scenes actually with that Nick Swardson, you know, that stand-up comic guy, he was actually really funny. But it was fun, though. The whole crew was great. We started 6:30 in the morning, which wasn't great, but I wouldn't pass it up. There's going to be a lot of guys doing cameos in this. You'll see. It's going to be great.
Were you in Happy Gilmore 1?
I was not. No. So I remember
Bob Barker was in that movie, as I recall, the late Bob Barker.
What a scene.
That was the funniest. I told David, I was on an airplane, and that scene came on, and like I didn't realize I had disturbed everyone on the flight because I laughed so hard because I had headphones on. God, that was a funny scene.
Yeah, who would ever thought Bob Barker would, you know, get in a movie like that and have a scene like that? But it was great.
Can you tell us anything about your role and what the scene was like and what they had you do? What were you doing in this Happy Gilmore 2 scene?
Well, I got no lines, and I'm just standing there with that kid, Nick Swartzen, and basically we stand there next to Nick and just look mean. We're goons, henchmen. go figure, right?
So, figure.
That is hardly typecasting.
Yeah, so it wasn't much acting. Sean Avery was the other goon or henchman that was with me. So,
Sean Avery, it's great.
Yeah, lots of laughs. Yeah, lots of laughs, trust me.
Good stuff.
So Chris, we can talk some hockey. Hockey season is just getting going. We've had a couple of preseason games so far for the Blackhawks. They are allowing a lot of goals. And I just wonder, I saw Kuchinski was sent back to Rockford. Does it just take longer for defensemen in the NHL? Because they have invested in some young defensemen, but I don't know that we're seeing that payoff yet.
Yeah, well, it didn't take me longer, so I'm just judging by my experience. You know, on a weaker team, obviously the Hawks struggled last year, a young team, young on the back end for sure, other than Seth Jones, and now they added Martinez, which is a great addition. But, you know, it just sometimes it takes time. Korchinski can skate. He's got size. He doesn't get pushed around. He's just got to learn to play the game. And it's going to be interesting, you know, on that back end. Martinez should help them. I think Vlasic's going to take a big step this year. He's a really good defenseman. But again, your question is, yes, it does take a little longer for defensemen to develop. You'll find them, a lot of guys that, you know, go to college have that opportunity to practice, you know, 3-4 days a week and actually learn the position. So, you know, hopefully that's the case. He'll get some confidence down in Rockford and come back up and be a top four guy for the Hawks.
Yeah, you know, Chelly, I looked at that decision as kind of surprising, but then Frankie Nazer goes to Rockford. I think Landon Slager already there. And to me, it speaks to just how active and aggressive the Hawks were in the offseason, getting veterans who are taking up those spots that used to be taken up by prospects. And maybe that says that even though they haven't had a great preseason so far, they're going to be a little more competitive because they have that kind of experience.
Yeah, no question. Don't judge, exhibition. I've never judged exhibition. You want to get some confidence and get a little bit of momentum, you know, coming into the season. But again, I think last year was unacceptable with the way things went and the signings of Bertuzzi, Martinez, Teravainen. That just shows that they want to speed up this rebuild, and they added some really good players, and hopefully that'll rub off on these young kids. Foligno's the captain now. I think that was a great choice. He's kind of a vocal guy and a stand-up guy. So, I'm expecting them to be way more competitive. But at the end of the day, they've got to be committed to playing better defensively.
All right, Chris, the Bears play Sunday at Soldier Field against the Carolina Panthers. I'm guessing you like the Bears in the game, but it's just a guess.
I love the Bears. I don't know who's going to play for the Panthers, or maybe Dalton, or I'm not sure Hubbard's playing. But, they've got some momentum, you know, and we'll go to Caleb Williams first of all. He has gotten better every game from the first half to the second half. He's got better. So he's up to a 6 on my radar from a 5 so far. But, I'm counting on the Bears to win this game. I think they're giving away 4. But, Bears all the way this week.
Great stuff, Chris. Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Catching up with you.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, guys. Thank you. You too.
That's Chris Chelios. Can't wait to see that movie now.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Just
you can stand there and glare.
Standing there. That just, is hysterical.
Looking mean next to Sean Avery. Hawks back in action tonight. They play the Minnesota Wild in another preseason game. They have yet to win in preseason.
And they've been giving up like massive amounts. Like
they gave up
goals?
7 last time. Yeah, they've given up
5 the time before, maybe?
Actually, 16 goals in 4 games. So they're giving up 4 a game.
Well,
that's not great.
It's not as bad as I thought.
Minnesota Wild tonight. And Chelly getting in the hockey spirit, have some good thoughts. His daughter, Kaylee Chelios, part of the new Chicago Sports Network. Tremendous job along with Pat Boyle. That's going to be fun because she is very, very good at what she does.
I've been given a blow-by-blow of how to hook up an antenna, how to get an antenna. Now you told me, during the last break, I told you I was heading out to get my antenna, and you told me you better move quick because they're now apparently selling out. David, knowing this was coming, invested in antennas.
Yeah, you want me to give you a spare one?
I'm selling for double the price. I'm really looking forward to getting myself all set up, maybe by tonight's game. Sounds good to
me. That'd be great.
Yep, I'll be watching. All right, we've got so much to get to. Listen, last night was a great sports night, a wonderful sports night. Maybe we'll revisit that when we come back.
Good idea.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.